ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. We have seen in our last class, Sri Ramakrishna was talking with Brahmo devotees. In that connection, one of the devotees asked the question that can God be realized through reasoning? Reasoning and God realization. Ramakrishna answered categorically that reasoning and God realization cannot go together. It is not possible at all. Even Adi Shankaracharya says that Shruti comes first and then only comes reasoning. So that is very, very important for us to understand. So, we also have seen how Sri Ramakrishna was being entertained by Beni Madhav Pal and he spoke so long. Now it became evening. So, according to the Brahmo's rule, evening worship began and M's powers of observation of the nature. Not only he was paying attention to Sri Ramakrishna's words, he was also looking how the devotees were acting, reacting in the presence of Sri Ramakrishna. What is happening? That's why he is one of the greatest chronographers, we can say. So he is describing the moon rose in the autumn sky and flooded the trees and creepers of the garden with its light. And after the prayer is over, the devotees began to sing. What is happening? Sri Ramakrishna was dancing, intoxicated with love of God. A Brahmo devotees danced around him to the accompaniment of drums and cymbals. All appeared to be in a very joyous mood. The place echoed and re-echoed with God's holy name. When the music had stopped, Sri Ramakrishna prostrated himself on the ground and making salutations to the Divine Mother again and again said, Bhagavata Bhakta Bhagavan, my salutations at the feet of the Jnanis, my salutations at the feet of the Bhaktas, I salute the Bhaktas who believe in God with form, I salute the Bhaktas who believe in God without form, I salute the knowers of Brahman of olden times, Brahmagnanis, Rishis, and my salutations at the feet of the modern knowers of Brahman of the Brahmo Samaj. Then the master and the devotees enjoyed a supper of delicious dishes which Veni Madhav, their host, had provided. The thing for us to note is the place where God's name is sung is considered to be very holy. That is why Sri Ramakrishna is not bowing down, but so much of ecstatic singing, dancing, talking about God. We don't know how many hours Sri Ramakrishna had spent there. Just I'm mentioning to you that once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had visited Vrindavana and then somewhere in the outskirts of Vrindavana in those days, nearly 500 to 600 years back, Vrindavana was a very small, remote village. As he was passing by, he had to spend the night under a neem tree. Even today, that neem tree is known as Chaitanya's neem tree, and devotees go and prostrate. Probably he spent one night there. Of course, we have to imagine, if Sri Ramakrishna had spent a night like that, his mind would have been thinking only about God. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's condition was exactly like that only. So even today that place has become one of the holiest of the places. What to speak? How many times Sri Ramakrishna had visited the house of Balaram Basu, etc. So what I wanted to convey to you, that is a very important point here, that Sri Ramakrishna considers any place where God's name is sung or talk about God's name, that becomes very holy. Of course, for devotees of Sri Ramakrishna, the very touch of Sri Ramakrishna's lotus feet would create such a holy atmosphere. And not only that, the people, we have to imagine that it is not an ordinary preacher sitting there and preaching or singing. There are people nowadays who go on singing bhajans and then go on explaining their commentaries, disrupting the melodious. These singers have got melodious voices, but they want to show how much of a jnanam they have got. So they want to show it to everybody. In between, they suddenly stop and go on explaining the intricacies of this meaning of the bhajan they are singing and disturb everybody's mind. At least I find it very disturbing. Their voices are fine, but their interruption in the form of this horrible speech is intolerable. But where a person like Sri Ramakrishna, who merges totally in that Daivi Bhava, Divya Bhava, it is indescribable. And he knows it. That is why he is saluting everybody, including, of course, the Brahma Samaj people, because Beni Mathav was a Brahma. He invited it to his annual festival. So, we have to understand, where there is God's name, where there is God's devotee, there will be God. So, Bhagavata, Bhakta and Bhagavan. Same thing perhaps we have to do whenever we visit a temple or an ashrama where evening aratrikam will take place or a lecture takes place, Bhagavata, Bhakta, Bhagavan. So, having successfully injected at least temporarily some amount of devotion into those Brahma devotees as well as of course the devotees who accompanied Sri Ramakrishna, because there were so many times when the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna would never like to visit any of the Brahma devotees festivals, but because of the presence of Sri Ramakrishna they accompany gladly. So, but Sri Ramakrishna is saluting everybody, including his own devotees. So, wherever holy name is taken, whether it is a book, whether it is a satsanga, we have to salute it. Now, the another day's events are being described. Wednesday, number 15, 1882. Sri Ramakrishna, accompanied by Rakhal and several other devotees, came to Calcutta in a carriage and they came to the school where M was working and called for M at the school where he was teaching. Then they all set out for the Maidan. What is this Maidan? There was a circus going on and that is called Wilson Circus. In those days, it was quite popular. Sri Ramakrishna used to be in two moods. The mood of the teacher and the mood of the child. These are the two dominant moods in his life. So, when he is in the mood of a child, he would like to say, I want to visit that place. I want to see, take me to that lake, a big pond where huge fishes fearlessly come to the people who come to see them. And usually the people want to feed these fishes and fearlessly they come and snatch the food. And it's a marvelous sight. What is so marvelous about fish swimming in the waters? Sri Ramakrishna often gave, when one meditates upon God, one should imagine. Imagination is a marvelous principle which leads to both immense good and terrible evil both. It depends upon how it is used. Imagination is a marvelous instrument. Everything that we see today is the result of imaginations of great intelligent people. Artificial intelligence is the intelligence of the people who are working there. But what is important for us, that imagination that Sri Ramakrishna always cultivated was a spiritual imagination. So, I want to see how joyfully, fearlessly and self-forgetting these fish swim in the waters of the pond. Huge fish, because they are forbidden to be killed, so they become fat and it is a joy to behold. Sri Ramakrishna often advised, so you think that the whole atmosphere is full of like a huge ocean, You are like a huge fish and you are swimming joyfully without any fear of fishermen catching you, of other fish killing you, etc. We should not intrude our imaginations with those things. Joyfully swimming. Similarly, a person should swim joyfully because they are thinking only about God, and God is the greatest protector. We have seen in the Taittiriya Upanishad, every teaching of Sri Ramakrishna is nothing but Veda Vakya, Upanishad, Gita. So we see fearlessly swimming. So he who thinks of Brahman, then Brahman becomes the cause of fearlessness. He who rejects Brahman, that very Brahman becomes cause of great fear. Fear always comes in the form of kala, time. It is a most marvelous statement we have to understand. Kala means death. Every millisecond is a death. Whatever time is gone, by the time I finished this sentence, already my life is dead, past. New life starts, of course. So, Sri Ramakrishna was curious to see so many things. Then he wanted to see circus. Why does he want? Because everything is a leela. He wants to enjoy everything. So in those days, there was a circus popular among people, and that is called Wilson Circus. Of course, that is what the information we get from this Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. So somebody arranged for it. As the carriage rolled along the crowded Chitpur road, Sri Ramakrishna's joy was very great. Like a little child, he leaned first out of one side of the carriage and then out of the other, talking to himself as if addressing the passers-by. Then to M, he said, "I find the attention of the people fixed on earthly things. They are all rushing about for the sake of their stomachs. No one is thinking of God." What a marvelous statement. So next time you are traveling, of course not when you are driving, but when you are a passenger or in a taxi or in a train, then you look at both sides. What tremendous rush. How many thousands and thousands of cars are going in the opposite direction, going in your own direction. How many of them are thinking about God? So Sri Ramakrishna, he was not merely like ignorant people like us. He was observing, he could understand the inner feelings of these people, and then he is passing this remark. "I find the attention of the people fixed on earthly things. They are all rushing about for the sake of their stomachs. No one is thinking of God." Now imagine, put yourself, you are also one of the persons, and walking by the side of the carriage which was carrying Sri Ramakrishna, and he also looks at you. What do you think he will think about you? He would have passed, for most of us, he would have passed, this person's attention is fixed only on the stomach. Stomach means what? Eating, drinking, what Sri Ramakrishna called, that kama and kanchana. Kanchana means the money and equipment, both are included there, through which enjoyment is possible, fulfillment of desires is possible. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna is telling here. Then we don't know whether he spoke something else, but it is not mentioned here. So the carriage arrived at the circus. Tickets for the cheapest seats were purchased. The devotees took the master to a high gallery and they all sat on a bench. Those who pay, perhaps they will say, sit very near, and those cheap tickets, they will be provided with, they have to climb. But Sri Ramakrishna did not mind, and I suspect somebody had paid for that. So joyfully he said, "Ha, this is a good place. I can see the show well from here." And actually, Sri Ramakrishna's eyesight was very, very powerful. His voice was very powerful. So he may appear to be very meek, but his voice is so powerful, even perhaps 10,000 people can hear him crystal clearly. He had a divine voice. Remember this always. So this is a good place. I can see the show well from here. There were exhibitions of various fields. It is also worth noting. Suppose we are in that cheap places, then it is quite possible that we may have a thoughts. Oh, these people, they are sitting in front of the show. They can see more clearly and how unfortunate I am. I had to buy a cheap ticket and so I can see, but I would have perhaps enjoyed more near. Enjoyment doesn't depend upon how near or far we are. It depends upon how keen we are to enjoy something. This is a point we have to take into consideration. Then you see what happened. There was an English woman. She was a horse rider, circus rider. So the horse runs quite fast. And on the path on which the horse runs, there were rings at the height of that, a little slightly above the horse. So this rider, man or woman, has to jump and pass through that loop. And again, exactly sit back on the horse on the other side. And it is quite difficult. If you have seen, I'm sure most of you have seen circuses. It looks as though very easily one can do it. But how many years and years of training, what careful attention has to be paid for that. The slightest mistake, one can fall down, one can injure, one can die. Especially those who are swinging from very high place. They leave the chains they are holding and then they have to catch and they exchange their rings also. I do not need to describe to you. So this was the English woman and every time she lands perfectly well, exactly on her seat. And Sri Ramakrishna was overjoyed not only to see her skill, but he has turned this into the one of the greatest spiritual teachings. So this is called the power of abhyasa, constant practice. Sri Ramakrishna said to him, did you see how that English woman stood on one foot on her horse while it ran like lightning? How difficult a feat that must be. She must have practiced a long time. The slightest carelessness and she would break her arms or legs. She might even be killed. And then Sri Ramakrishna, having described that, how that lady had achieved, and now turns to his devotees, and the message is for all of us. One faces the same difficulty, leading the life of a householder, but in parenthesis, I can also add, not only a householder, most of the sannyasis and sannyasinis, we are nothing but householders, where a huge establishment has to be run. It may be a school, maybe a hospital, maybe a hostel, various social service activities are going on, and only a few succeed in it through the grace of God and as a result of their spiritual practice. So what does it mean? That practice so that every time you pass through a loop, a ring, what is that ring? Some event, which is a difficult event. It could be happy event. It could be an unhappy event. But whenever we pass through it, we will have to understand that we have to come back. What is that horse? Holding on to the teaching of our guru. Holding on to our shastra, scripture. And then we should continue. But every time you pass that test and land safely. Safety is only at the lotus feet of God, nowhere else. So if you succeed in it through the grace of God, then Sri Ramakrishna's unfailing insight, but most people fail. Entering the world, they become more and more involved in it. They drown in worldliness and suffer the agonies of death. But then there are also eminent examples like that of King Janaka, Videha Raja. A few only like Janaka have succeeded through the power of their austerity in leading the spiritual life as householders. Therefore, spiritual practice is extremely necessary Otherwise, one cannot rightly live in the world. The master got into the carriage with the devotees and went into Balaram Bose's house. In this regard also, Ramakrishna's main message is, hold on to God. And this holding on to God also are of two types. One, the young one of a monkey, it holds to the mother. And there is always danger of its slipping out, falling down, injuring, even incurring death also. But on the other hand, I think there was a video where a hunting animal was hunting monkeys. And there was one female monkey which has given birth to a baby. It was trying to jump from one tree to the other tree. Meanwhile, the baby had slipped. And immediately, the animal on the ground pounced upon it and killed it in one stroke. Perhaps we can take it as an example. Whereas, the young one of a cat, kitten, that is called Sharanagati Bhava. I hold on to God is often considered the attitude of a jnani, but I depend upon you is considered as the mood of the real devotee, Sharanagati. But there were also people through the practice of continuous detachment like Janaka. That's what Sri Ramakrishna is telling. A few only like Janaka have succeeded through the power of their austerity in leading the spiritual life as householders. And in the Bhagavad Gita also, Bhagavan Krishna mentions and says there were so many kings like Janaka Maharaj, Janakadayaha, and through Karma Yoga, they also attained Siddhi. Siddhi means perfection. Perfection means Aham Brahmasmi is the state of perfection. Whether one reaches it through the path of bhakti, which to say, I do not exist, naham, naham, tuhu, tuhu, only you, or aham, aham, neti, neti. All this is nothing, but I am Brahma. It doesn't matter. If one is sincere, one reaches. Any path is sufficient. Sincerity leads to liberation. So, a few only, like Janaka, have succeeded. Again, supporting the very statement of Bhagavad Gita among millions of people, perhaps one strives to attain perfection, and among those striving, only perhaps one succeeds. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna is also observing. Therefore, Ramakrishna says, spiritual practice is extremely necessary, otherwise one cannot rightly live in the world. Then the carriage, after the circus is over, they have come to Balaram Basu's house. And at this Balaram Basu's house, one important point which is plaguing people everywhere, all over the world, but especially in India, now we are dogmatically clinging to this caste-based politics, caste-based privileges, etc. So, the conversation turned to the caste system. Is it possible to remove the caste system? Impossible. Why is it impossible? Because Bhagavan Krishna had answered it, that it is created not based upon birth. Nowadays, it is only based upon birth. But at the time of creation, we have seen how in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, Brahma has created four first castes among the gods. And then following the same model, he also created four castes. So Deva Brahmana, Manushya Brahmana, Deva Kshatriya, Manushya Kshatriya, Deva Vaishya, Manushya Vaishya, and Deva Shudra, Manushya Shudra. The rules are same for this game called samsara. So Sri Ramakrishna perhaps was asked by somebody, we don't know, M only records this much. Is it possible? First of all, it is not possible. Secondly, it should not be removed because you cannot make everybody equal by proclaiming that we are all democratic people, we can become equal. So a baby and a person who has strived whole life to master scriptures cannot be equated. Everybody has his or her own place. And this caste system is based upon three gunas. Which guna is dominant? As we discussed earlier, even about our own selves. If there is tamoguna, we can be called shudras. If there is more rajoguna, we can be called either vaishyas or even more rajoguna, kshatriyas. But when sattva guna prevails more, then we can be called brahmanas. Who is a brahmana? He who can think deeply, who can discriminate properly, who can renounce after discrimination and follow what is right and give up what is not right, such a person alone must be called a brahmana. So Sri Ramakrishna said that the caste system can be removed by one means only, and that is the love of God. Lovers of God do not belong to any caste. Interestingly, Karl Marx, and he propagated this Marxism. And what is it? He misunderstood totally the social system. He misunderstood. He said that everybody must be made equal. Nobody should be given. In one respect, he is right. Privileges should not be given to privileged people. More privileges to privileged people, and either less or no privileges to people who are not qualified to be like that. That brings quarrels, wars, headache, everything. That is totally wrong. Communism has never worked anywhere. Even some countries are following that Marxist philosophy. That is what they claim. Really, they are not following it. Because the privileges that are enjoyed by those who have the power, and they want to suppress everybody. They want to become dictators, cruel dictators. Nowhere it has existed, nowhere it has worked. But it had worked only in the case of spiritual people who are called brahmanas, real brahmanas. That is why, if you remember, even the great Shankaracharya had to be taught a lesson. He was supposed to be reached a high spiritual state, but even he forgot. So he encountered a low caste person. In those days it was much more evident than these days. These days, who is a manager, who is a CEO, whether he is born in a scheduled caste, we do not know. But the point is, these are not dependent upon the powers, nor by birth. It is according to the quality of the life. That is most important for us to understand. So how can this man claim that I have written commentaries, I have reached a high state of spirituality, definitely wonderful qualities were there, but the real fact is he was not able to see God. So he encountered a so-called lowest of the lowest caste. Even among the lower caste, there are also many, many divisions are there. Duram apasarare chandala. So, I will become impure. How can the Atman, you are claiming I am Atman. Atman has nothing to do with body, mind. How can your body and mind come into contact with another body? And that too, even by the presence, not even touching. How can you become impure? If you can become impure so easily, then you are not even a normal human being, let alone an exalted human being. But what Sri Ramakrishna, what do these people really mean is, everybody should be given same opportunity. That is true socialism. That is what Swami Vivekananda wanted. Nobody should be based upon caste, should be given higher privileges, means opportunities. It is impossible to make everybody's privileges same. A person who is a higher officer, a person who is a prime minister, who is a president, you will have to protect that person. There are so many moral contents are there, moral elements are there in this society. So they have to be protected and they have to be cherished if they are good. So you cannot do the same thing to everybody. Impossible. Even if somebody wants to do, it is impossible. But equal opportunity should be given. That's why Swami Vivekananda, he had said, if a Brahmin requires one teacher, then a non-Brahmin perhaps requires two or three teachers. For the simple reason, even birth can give more advanced intellectual capacities. If somebody through some generations has been given the privilege of acquiring knowledge, even the children automatically acquire that intelligent capabilities of intelligence, which a person who is doing hard labor, suddenly his child will get the same capabilities, that is not possible. Therefore, they must be given an opportunity. So, the whole essence of the social system that Sri Ramakrishna wanted to bring up through Swami Vivekananda's preaching was that bring up the lower caste to the level of the higher caste. Make every Shudra a Brahmana by giving, affording more opportunities, more help, etc. So the point is, everybody should be treated as the, each soul is potentially divine. Everybody has got possibilities, and that must be given an opportunity for a person through whatever means. So, Sri Ramakrishna is telling the caste system cannot be removed by any other means. It can be removed only by one means only, and that is the love of God. Lovers of God do not belong to any caste. Look at the life of Sri Ramakrishna. So, he used to, in order to remove that difference, I am born of a Kulina Brahmana, orthodox, highly respected Brahmin family. Sri Ramakrishna secretly used to visit the lavatories used by lavatory cleaners and clean them with his hands and try to wipe them dry with his long hair. I cannot even imagine how he was absorbed and pray wholeheartedly, O Mother, let me never think that I am any way higher than you, because all are your children only. So that Samadrishti, and really speaking, this Samadrishti can come only through God realization. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini Shunichaiva Shvapakecha Panditaha Samadarshinaha. So, who is a yogi? A yogi is one who sees his own self in everybody, everybody as his own self. So, from the society point of view, caste system can never be removed. But it doesn't mean the opportunities should not be given to them. If you study the history, human history, even today, those who have power, they are misusing it for the sake of their own enjoyment. They are not even using it for their own inner development. Only accumulating money, and big, big companies are only squeezing their own customers in every way. Sri Ramakrishna said, lovers of God do not belong to any caste. The mind, body and soul of a man becomes purified through divine love. Chaitanya and Nityananda scattered the name of Hari to everyone, including the pariah, and embraced them all. Sri Ramakrishna had embraced, so to say, Rashik and another gardener, whose story I told you. One Swami Vishuddhananda asked one old gardener that, did you see Sri Ramakrishna? He said, yes. Can you tell me? Reluctantly, that gardener said, one midnight, I awoke and moving about Panchavati area, I saw light, brilliant light emanating from the Panchavati side. I became curious, and when I approached near, I saw Sri Ramakrishna sitting in meditation, and divine light is spreading all over, and this man got frightened. Next day, Sri Ramakrishna asked him, that did you see me yesterday night? He said, yes. Sri Ramakrishna instructed him, meditate on that form, you will attain everything. So we have to infer from this incident Sri Ramakrishna deliberately showed himself to that gardener. Why did he show? Because he must have found the reception capacity. The gardener must have been a very sincere person, having true devotion, having become purified, because receiving God's grace doesn't depend upon God. We have to remove that wrong notion that I am waiting for your grace. It is like praying to Vayu Devata, I am waiting for you to blow so that I can breathe. If you are suffering from asthma, that is not Vayu Devata's problem. That is your problem. That is what Sri Ramakrishna categorically declared. The grace of the wind of God's grace is blowing all the time, but you will have to take advantage of it. Unfurl your sails. That means be receptive. Then your journey will be easy, safe, fast. So, Sri Ramakrishna is categorically, explicitly saying, a Brahmin without love of God is no longer a Brahmin, and a Paraya with the love of God is no longer a Paraya. So, we have to remember the many, many stories. Even God, this stone image of God, turns towards his low caste devotee. This happened in the place called Udipi. So the story goes, there was one devotee and he was not allowed to enter and he can't see God. He sat to one side and started praying wholeheartedly, and the whole image turned towards that side, and the wall broke so that the devotee can have unstoppable vision, unhindered vision of himself. Even today, that is the same doorway is used. Of course, they have constructed a doorway. And Madhvacharya, one of the greatest acharyas of the Dvaita philosophy, had lived in that temple, in the same temple, Udipi temple, for many, many years. So, who is a Brahmin? He who has love of God is a Brahmin. Who is a Paraya? And he who is without the love of God is a Paraya. So, we have to understand. So, Shankaracharya encountered this, and as a result of that, this Chandala, he had addressed him, taught him a great lesson. Whom are you addressing, sir? If you mean you addressed me as body, so the same positive, negative blood type is flowing in both of us. There is no difference, same flesh, same bone, same everything. You can't say Brahmin's body is different from a Chandala's body. If you are talking about Atman, Atman is a divide of body-mind. Whom are you exactly addressing as you move away from here? And of course, the story goes, Shankaracharya, he had come to realize, this is a great lesson for me to learn. Hopefully he learned, I am not sure. Even his followers, even today, they have not learned that lesson. They proclaim that they are sannyasis, but they cling to their Brahmins' bodies, etc. Of course, they are very learned people, but Sri Ramakrishna, being an avatara, embraced non-Brahmins, even Rishik, many others. We do not know how many people he had blessed. And Holy Mother, how many people she blessed, including prostitutes and other people. So we have to remember this. Through bhakti, Sri Ramakrishna says, an untouchable becomes pure and elevated. Then the topic, of course, turned to speaking of householders entangled in worldliness. The master said, they are like the silkworms. They can come out of the cocoon of their worldly life if they wish, but they can't bear to. For they themselves have built the cocoon with great love and care. So, they die there. Sri Ramakrishna, as I mentioned many times, was a master of similes. In Indian lore, Kalidasa was supposed to be the master of similes. Upama Kalidasasya Bharavehe Arthagauravam Dandinaha Padalalityam Maghe Santi Trayogunaha. So, Sri Ramakrishna perhaps surpassed even Kalidasa in using similes, and he was a great observer also. So, speaking of householders who are terribly entangled in worldliness. If we observe carefully his teachings, there is some precious gems are there. About these householders, he is telling, they are like the silkworms. They can come out of the cocoon of their worldly life if they wish. Who had spun that cocoon? They themselves. But they can't bear to. For they themselves have built the cocoon with great love and care, so they die there. What is this cocoon? These are my parents. This is my wife. These are my children. These are my friends. This is my religion. This is my language. This is my country. That is one simile he has given, like silkworms. Then he gives, they are like the fish in a trap. They can come out of it by the way they entered. But they sport inside the trap with other fish and bear the sweet sound of the, hear the sweet sound of the murmuring water and forget everything else. They don't even make an effort to free themselves from the trap. This is a beautiful, there is a trap which is, let us say, a small basket with a small opening, and then the rushing flow of the river can, or it can be a lake also, it can be a big pond also. What happens is, the fish along with the current of the waters can easily enter through that door, but they are trapped there. All that they need to do is to turn back, the door is open, they can come out. This is exactly what we say, vanaprasthashrama, that we have entered voluntarily into this worldly life, but if we wish, we can also go back. That is called turning away from the world and moving towards our place. And incidentally, Mother Ganga originates in the Himalayas, flows through a vast stretch of land for thousands and thousands of miles, and finally merges in the ocean. So the point is that there are some places where she mysteriously turns as if for a short distance, is like a loop, turns towards the north, and then after a short distance, again resumes the normal course. So wherever Mother Ganga is found to turn north, from Hindu's viewpoint, that place becomes a most sacred place. So that is what is called Uttara Mukhi. Facing the north, that means want to go back as if she was attempting, but again she will have to turn back to go. But actually speaking, if we analyze, she is going back to her origin only. She is not originated in the Himalayas. She is originated in the ocean. And she is lifted up, purified. And the grace of God in the form of clouds carry this distilled water in the form of rain-bearing clouds to distant mountains. And they are discharged. So this recycling process is going on all the time. What I wanted to convey to you is the real origin of every river is the ocean. And they finally they understand we have to return back to the place of our origin, where from the entire creation is coming, from God. Therefore we have to go back to God only. So these people, especially these worldly people, they don't even make an effort to free themselves from the trap. That means they don't want to become free. But how do they live happily? The lisping of children, the murmur of the water, and the other fish are relatives and friends. Only one or two make good their escape by running away. They are the liberated souls. This is one more simile that Sri Ramakrishna had given. Then the master burst into song. When such a delusion veils the world, through Mahamaya spell, that Brahma is bereft of sense, and Vishnu loses consciousness, what hope is left for men? The narrow channel first is made, and there the trap is set. But open though the passage lies, the fish once safely through the gate inside, do not come out again. A silkworm patiently prepares its closely spun cocoon, yet even though it leads forth, encased within its own cocoon, the worm remains to die. It prefers to die there, thinking that I am very happy here. Sri Ramakrishna has given also how once a fisherman had cast his nest, and there are four types of fishes. Perhaps you will remember it. Then Sri Ramakrishna is telling, what is the way out? Take refuge at the peg. Sharanagati is the message of Sri Ramakrishna. Tasmat vameva sharanam mama dina bandho. Swami Vivekananda echoes this four times in his hymn, Om Hrim Ritam. The master continued, man may be likened to grain. He has fallen between the millstones and is about to be crushed. Only the few grains that stay near the peg escape. Therefore, men should take refuge at the peg. That is to say, what is the peg? In God. Call on him. Sing his name. Then you will be free. Otherwise, you will be crushed by the king of death. The master sang again, mother, mother, my boat is sinking here in the ocean of this world. Fiercely the hurricane of delusion rages on every side. Clumsy is my helmsman, the mind. Stubborn my six oarsmen, the passions. Into a pitiless wind I sailed my boat, and now it is sinking. Split is the rudder of devotion, tattered is the sail of faith. Into my boat the waters are pouring. Tell me, mother, what shall I do? For with my failing eyes, alas, nothing but darkness do I see. Here in the waves I will swim, O mother, and cling to the raft of thy name. So 2 points we have to note, that when a person is in his youth, is carried away by the intense passions, six passions, his sense organs do not allow him to think of anything else. But then, how do we know it is old age? Because the song says, and is an extraordinarily beautiful song, for with my failing eyes, indicating, Vriddho tavat jarjara dehaha. In Bhajagovinda Sotram, this old man is tottering with the help of a stick. He can't see properly. His legs are shivering, shaking, and yet he will not give up. Alas, nothing but darkness do I see, because it is too late. But then, is there any way? Here in the waves I will swim, O mother, but still I can swim, and I can reach the shore safely. How? And cling the raft of thy name. Take the help of the raft. Every ship carries rafts in case of some emergency, sinking of the ship, etc. So there is a raft. And if it can float, there is no question of it sinking. So the raft of thy name, your name, let me cling to your name. Then Sri Ramakrishna says, a householder has his duties to discharge. It is through the discharge of these duties, which we have discussed in our Brihadaranyaka class also. This is called Karma Yoga. It is nothing but the discharge of the Pancha Mahayagnas. There was a devotee. His name was Vishwas. He had been sitting in Balram Babu's house. He was once wealthy, but squandered everything in immoral life. Then he became indifferent to his wife and children. And then Sri Ramakrishna himself is certifying about this. He is an unfortunate wretch. A householder has his duties to discharge, his debts to pay, his debt to the gods, debt to his ancestors, his debt to the rishis, and his debt to wife and children. Only Sri Ramakrishna has not mentioned about other human beings and Bhuta Nriyagna, and Bhuta Yagna, other human beings, but they must be included. We have to understand that way. If a wife is chaste, then her husband should support her. He should also bring up their children until they are of age. Only a monk must not save. The bird and the monk do not provide for the tomorrow. But even a bird provides when it has young. It brings food in its bill for its chicks. Many times it dies also. Like penguins who die being hunted by sea wolves, etc. But Balaram Basu interferes here, says, Mr. Vishwas wants to cultivate the company of holy people. And Sri Ramakrishna with a smile says, a monk's Kamandalu goes to the four principal holy places with him, but it still tastes bitter. Likewise, it is said that the Malaya breeze turns every tree into sandalwood, but there are a few exceptions, such as the cotton tree, the Ashwatha, and the hog plum. Some frequent the company of holy men in order to smoke hemp. Many monks smoke it, and these householders stay with them, prepare the hemp, and partake of the prasada. With this, that day's conversation is over. We have to take the important points is, cling to the raft of God, however stormy the ocean is, and that raft will safely take us to the lotus feet of God, which means we will become liberated. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohohu. May Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti. Hey Ramakrishna.